Thanks so much for joining us today for an uplifting word. We're going to the Word of God, which always lifts us up. Today's message is entitled, Appreciating Your God-Given Uniqueness. Appreciating Your God-Given Uniqueness. The book of 1 Samuel reports that all the elders of Israel came to the prophet Samuel. Samuel led Israel about 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth. All the elders came to Samuel and they said, Samuel, appoint a king to lead us as all the other nations. Notice that. Appoint a king to lead us as all the other nations have. The Lord responded to Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me as their king. And as I read this familiar story, I began to realize that these people of Samuel's day did not appreciate their God-given uniqueness. You see, God's people were failing to appreciate their God-given uniqueness that He had bestowed upon them. They were the one-of-a-kind nation. They had been selected by God. They were the sole nation that He was leading. They were incomparable in a sense. You see, God had purposefully set Abraham apart from all other humans. These people's forefather, Abraham, was an idol worshiper, just like everybody else on earth. Abraham knew nothing else except idols made out of silver and gold, images. He may have been involved in the occult. That was a big part of his culture. But for some unexplainable reason, God sovereignly chose Abraham and set him apart from all other humans. Let's read Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Here the Bible says, Abraham, leave your father, your mother, your kinsmen, and your country, and go to a nation, go to a land that I will show you. So it was God purposefully selecting Abraham. God intended to take this man's descendants and make them into a people who were one of a kind. Make them into a one of a kind people, a people who loved God and obeyed His word. You see, in Abraham's day, nobody knew the true God. Nobody knew anything about an invisible God. And of course, nobody knew anything about His word. But God was wanting a people. He was wanting a unique people who would love Him and obey His word. And so He set Abraham's descendants aside and said, through them I will bless all the world. Now, brother, sister, it wasn't that Abraham was special, because he wasn't. It wasn't that his descendants were special. They weren't. Their uniqueness was assigned by God. Only their God-assigned differences made Israel an unmistakable message from God to the human race. God wanted to take these people and make them an unmistakable message to the human race. He wanted the Israelis to be His message of love, of truth, of kindness, divine kindness and righteousness to the human race. In fact, the Bible says that these people, I wanted them to be the work of my hands for the display of my splendor. God set Abraham and his children aside to be the work of God's hands for the display of His splendor. Well, the Israelis came to Samuel and said, Samuel, we want to be like all the other nations. They did not appreciate their God-given uniqueness. Well, you know, brother, sister, here in the 21st century, I find that we, as Christians, as God's born-again children, do not appreciate our differences, our uniqueness, our lack of similarity from others. Well, let me share with you how we can develop an appreciation for our God-given uniqueness, our God-given ability to be unlike all other people. First of all, you are God's one-of-a-kind message to the human race. Just like that He intended for the Jews to be His message to the human race. So you, my brother, sister, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you are God's one-of-a-kind message to the human race. Now, I ask myself, why do Christians dislike their uniqueness? You know, we're either too short, too tall, too broad, too thin, too old, too young, too this or too that. We never say to ourselves, hey, I'm just right. And yet, that's what we should be saying about ourselves. We are God's creation. But we don't appreciate our uniqueness because we don't know who we are. We don't know who God made us. And that's what happened in Samuel's day. The people of Israel didn't know who they were. They didn't appreciate that they were Abraham's descendants, set apart by God, chosen by God to be only His treasured people, His treasured possession. But brother, sister, that's what you are. You are a demonstration of God's creative genius. You say, but I don't like the way I am. I don't like the way things have turned out for me. I don't like my failures. Nevertheless, you are a demonstration of God's creative genius. If you can write these scriptures down, I sure wish you would. Psalm 139, verse number 13.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
Says two things about every one of us. God created our inmost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Now, we understand about being knit together in our mother. But what about that? God created our inmost being. Our inmost being is our personality. Our likes, our dislikes. Our aptitudes, our abilities. So God created us physically and emotionally. You say, but I have all these problems. I have all these weaknesses. Well, God can take those weaknesses and He can change them and make them something good. But the point of this verse is that you are God's creation. You are an expression of His infinite genius. This verse helps me so very, very much because I was born with scarred macula. The macula is a tiny point on the retina which absorbs about 90% of the light that enters our eye. And I was born unexplainably with scars on my macula. So these scars make me totally blind in those areas. And it's been a difficulty my whole life long. And I've been through many, many trials and many, many difficulties because of this birth defect. But as I concentrated on what God said, Psalm 139, verse 13, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You created my inmost being. I began to accept that and recognize that, yes, God had a purpose for this birth defect. I am an expression of His creative genius. So, brother, sister, you are too. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 73.
Your hands made me and formed me.
Very plain. Let's give credit to God. He made us. He formed us. Isaiah 44, please. Verse number 24, here it says,
"This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things."
I formed you in the womb. I made all things. So, brother, sister, start telling yourself, I'm just right. Sure, maybe you're older now and not as agile or have the endurance you once had, but you're just right. You're just right no matter what's going on in your life because God formed you. Listen to these words to Jeremiah. The Lord was speaking to Jeremiah and saying, Jeremiah, I have called you to be a prophet to Israel. And then God said, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.
There it is. Before you were born, I knew you. So you see, none of us snuck up on God. None of us is an accident. Even with our visual impairments and our other impairments, we are not an accident. We are a demonstration of God's creative genius. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. I love this verse. First part of it says, we are God's workmanship. One other translation says, we are God's handicraft. The handicraft is something you make with your hands, not with a machine. So God, in Genesis chapter number 2, makes man with his hands. He spoke the planets into existence. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke vegetation. He spoke animal life into existence, but he made humans with his hands. He was intimately involved with our creation. And even though now he has used parents to bring us into existence, yet he was involved. We read it all there. It said in Isaiah 44:24 that we were involved. He was involved whenever we were created in the womb. He knew our inmost being. So, brother, sister, please, start seeing yourself the way the Bible describes you. Don't see yourself the way you are. See yourself the way the Bible describes you. Say about yourself what God says about you. Look at the unchangeable differences, your unchangeable differences, as distinctive marks of God's ownership. Look at your unchangeable differences as distinctive marks of God's ownership. So, brother, sister, if you're growing older, less agile, more feeble, look at your feebleness as marks of God's ownership. When you were 5, you were agile. When you were 15, you had great endurance. So you don't now. But at every stage of life, our situation is a mark of God's ownership. Listen to John chapter number 20, verse 27.
Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Here was the resurrected Jesus saying to Thomas, "Thomas, look at my scarred hands. Touch my hands. Thomas, look at my side. Touch this scar in my side." You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, I'm going to bear these marks eternally. Why? Because they are marks of his uniqueness. No one else in all the human race could die for mankind. So Jesus bears eternally marks of uniqueness. Now, I know it's a big discussion among people. Well, what are we going to look like in our resurrected body? I don't know. But it's going to be beautiful. Maybe not beautiful in the sense that we define beautifulness, but we're going to be everything we need to be. But we're not going to have scars in our hands and scars in our side because we have been set apart to be us. And these marks of Jesus were proof of his eternal differences, his eternal uniqueness. So, brother, sister, start looking at your parentage as your mark of uniqueness. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament. In fact, it's Judges chapter 11. It's a story about a man named Jephthah, a man who had great faith in God. In fact, he is listed in Hebrews chapter 11. He's listed along with David and Samuel and Joshua and Moses. His name is in there as a hero of faith. But you know what the Bible says about his parentage? It says his father was named Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. So you see, Jephthah had parentage that we often don't think about. We don't want that kind of parentage, but that's what God gave him. And because of his background, Jephthah became a mighty warrior. And because he became a warrior, God used him in delivering Israel from the enemy's hands. So, brother, sister, no matter what has gone on in your life, in your past, what's going on in your life now, no matter what you look like physically, no matter what you are emotionally, you are God's workmanship. You are his handicraft. Quit resenting the unchangeable differences in your life. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 17. These are the words of Paul.
Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus.
Paul said, I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He had bruises. He had scars that could not be removed. There was no such thing as cosmetic surgery in Paul's days. So he was scarred, he was broken, he was beaten, and he bore on his body all these marks, all these embarrassing scars. But notice what he said. These are distinctive marks of God's ownership of my life. So my brother, my sister, we want to start seeing God as our creator. And consequently, we are God's one-of-a-kind message to the human race. Your racial differences mean nothing. We were all redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Your racial differences are to your advantage and are God's method of making you a statement of his love to the human race. Your education or lack of education. Your intellect or lack of intellect. No matter what's going on in your life, you are God's. We want to reject the temptation to compare ourselves to others. Always, when we compare ourselves to others, we lose. In our minds, we always lose. So we must reject the temptation to compare ourselves to others. Now, there was a couple of apostles, at least one apostle named Peter, who wanted to compare himself to John. But look at what happened in John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 20 through 22.
Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me.
Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and Peter were walking along the shoreline. Peter noticed that John was following. Peter said, What about him, Jesus? And Jesus said, Peter, don't worry about him. And then look at the last statement of verse 22. Jesus said to Peter, You follow me. Jesus was basically saying, Don't compare yourselves to others. I have an unfamiliar path for you to walk. I have a path for you to walk that nobody else can walk. I have a life for you to live that I don't intend for anyone else to live. You follow me. Get your eyes off of others. Quit comparing yourself. And let's go on into all the good things, all the uniqueness that God has for you. You see, each of us, brother and sister, each of us is like a fingerprint. We are similar to all other humans on the earth. Just as one fingerprint is similar to all other fingerprints. But each fingerprint is distinctively different. You can identify anyone among the 6.5 billion humans on this earth by their fingerprint. It seems absolutely impossible. But God's genius designed us to have individual fingerprints that are similar but very different. No one else illustrates God's genius like you. You know, they're even using the iris of the eye in identifying ATM customers now. They're developing ATM machines that you can enter your code, and then you look at a certain object on that ATM machine, it reads your iris, which has already been programmed in. And it identifies you as the true owner of this account. Can you imagine that? So God made us all similar, but very distinct. So sure, we are similar, but now God wants us to value our distinctiveness. No, we're not feeling superior to one another. That's not the idea. But God does want you valuing yourself like He values yourself. You illustrate His infinite created genius. Listen to Paul's words. Galatians chapter 1, verse 22 through 24.
I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me.
Here it says that the church was praising God. Why? Because of Paul's uniqueness. He had been converted from that horrible hatred of Jesus. So, brother, sister, you are a blessing to people. Your distinctiveness, your uniqueness is a blessing to people. So, you need to value and appreciate your God-given uniqueness because you are His message. There's another reason we want to value our uniqueness. Our uniqueness, our distinctiveness rejoices God's heart. Now, I used to find it very, very difficult to believe that my vision impairment, the birth defect that caused my vision to deteriorate, was anything to be thankful for. But as I began to see that God loves me just the way I am and made me like this on purpose, I began valuing myself, valuing my uniqueness, because I know I'm a joy to God's heart. The mark of genius, brother, sister, is the ability to create innumerable originals. You know, we've heard the term cookie cutter, sameness. You go to a department store and there you see thousands of pairs of boots all alike. Thousands of dresses all alike. Well, that's because of mankind's limitation, our creative limitation. But God's creativity is endless. He can create infinite originals. Yes, all of us humans look similar, but we're all different. We all have different DNA. We're all similar, but different. You see, what makes an original? What makes an original? Subtle differences that separate each creation from everything else God made. An original is something that separates us from everyone else God made. So you see, your differences, your uniqueness, your distinctiveness is God's way of making you slightly different from every other human. And He values you because of who you are. You are God's unequaled delight because you are His unequaled, unique creation. He treasures you the way you are. Yes, we change the things in our lives that are not healthy, but He treasures us because of who we are. So don't depreciate yourself. Appreciate yourself. In fact, let me give you a very important verse from Psalm 139, verse 14. Here the scripture says,
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Okay, listen to that. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, you have to do that, brother, sister, by faith. You praise God because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the rest of the verse says,
your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What works is he talking about? He's talking about himself. Read the verses. 13, 14, 15, 16. He's talking about himself. So, brother, sister, you are wonderful. Not superior. Not better. But you are wonderful. Because you are God's unique creation. You inspire His admiration. God marvels at you. He is intrigued by you. He enjoys you just the way you are. From all the background from which you've come. All the circumstances in which you now find yourself. So, brother, sister, right now, let's go to God and let's do something. Let's ask Him to forgive us for not appreciating our God-given uniqueness, and let's ask Him to help us see ourselves as He sees us. Lord, we love you, and right now, please forgive us for comparing ourselves to one another. Please, God, forgive us for not appreciating the way you made us. And Lord, cause our hearts to be full of a new thankfulness to you, because we were wonderfully and fearfully made. In the name of Jesus, amen.